Well, this morning's Sunday school public reading of God's Word has come from Psalm 76. So for those of you that join us on the church website, we send these links out with the Q&A that I do when we upload the sermons onto the church website. And so people can hear the psalm, or they can read it, and then we have three questions and three answers that we pull from out of the actual reading. Well, number one, it is quite evident that Asaph, when he wrote this, there seems to be, by way of internal context, that the enemies of God's people at that time were knocking on Jerusalem's front door. Beloved, Jerusalem, when you study Old Testament history, the city itself was attacked on numerous occasions, even during the time of David, the time of Solomon, and then when the kingdom divided, their civil war after Solomon died. Jerusalem was attacked not only by Israel from the north, but it was attacked by the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Ammonites, the Moabites and such. So the city was constantly being hammered by its enemies. And so that's what I feel here. We look at that verse 3. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. So this was written by an individual during a time apparently under siege. Under siege. Verse 4. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, notice, the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. So apparently, whoever the enemy was, they're not named per se, but whoever the enemy was had horses and chariots, mobilized weaponry, like a tank in that time frame. Now, in order for you to appreciate where we're going in this hour and the next hour, look at verse 10. Those of us who are Reformed, those of us who believe in a sovereign God, those of us who believe that God is even able to take the sins of men, as we shall study this morning, God can take the sinful actions of men and turn that evil act all around for something good. For instance, the greatest example would be the murder of the Son of God. Jesus never robbed a bank. He never raped a woman. He never told a lie. He never preached a false message. He was kind and compassionate to those who would humble themselves to him, and yet he did not cower. He didn't cower away from the religious leaders with their own teachings that was contrary to God's word. Jesus nailed them to the wall, but he had grace and mercy to the woman caught in adultery. But he did not shy away from his opponents. And yet they took him and they murdered him. And yet out of that agony and death on the cross, what good has come out of that? Our salvation. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to read verse 10. And I want you to keep verse 10 in the middle of the burners. Not the back burner, not the front, but kind of like in the middle. Watch. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. If you want to read it in more contemporary understanding, surely the sins of men shall praise thee. Now that's one half of the equation to verse 10. And we're going to see this morning some very heinous acts. And yet something good is going to come out of that. I'm going to show you that this morning. But then notice the other half of the verse. The remainder of man's sins and the intentions and the stirring up of their depraved mind, God is able to restrain. So there are times and seasons when God allows what we would call bad things to happen, and then there are times that God simply restrains. For instance, was it a shame for Cain to kill Abel? What did Abel do? He just obeyed God and brought the right sacrifice with the right attitude. Cain was the one that went through the motions, but had a very nasty attitude. And then we're told in the New Testament that Cain was of that wicked one. Cain was in cahoots with Satan, the serpent that beguiled his mother into eating of the forbidden fruit. What about the flood? God wipes out the entire globe, but saves 8 people and a whole bunch of animals. What good came out of that judgment? Well, you and I are here today because we can trace our genealogy back to one of those 3 sons, back to Noah, and all the way back to Adam. Love that verse as a Calvinist. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Even when man commits the most heinous acts, God is able to orchestrate those acts and bring about something good. And I'm going to prove that to you this morning in our first lesson here. And hopefully you will really see the impact of that verse 10. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.